Welcome to the podcast Career Connections with the HR Insider, where we teach you how to stay, flow, or go in your career with your host, Barbara Mason, bringing you 20 years of the inside scoop and what really matters in your career. Our passion is helping you find yours.
Welcome to another episode today of Career Connections with the HR Insider. Today, I am so excited. I have a special guest, and not just a guest, she's also my friend. And today we're going to talk about diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And one of the reasons why I wanted to pick this topic for this podcast is because I think it is so relevant right now with all that's going on in the world, all that's going on in corporate America. And sometimes as a Black African-American female, I can speak from reality and from past experience. It can be hard to navigate. And so I have a special guest, Nicole Mitchell, who is the Director of Diversity and Inclusion at Cedars-Sinai. And she is going to, we're just going to have a conversation today about all things diversity in the workplace, how you manage it. You'll hear a little bit about her story and just some tips and advice on how to just manage this beast that we all have to work with day in and day out. So Nicole, welcome so much to the podcast. Happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to join you. So good to hear your voice and to have this conversation. I think the beast is a good way to put this. This is a big topic.
It is a big topic. But the thing about it is that I think with the right strategy, the right plan, the right attitude and mindset is something that you can chip away. And one of the things I really want to make sure at the end of the podcast that we not only talk about what employers' responsibilities are, but what you as an individual can do. Because again, I'm sure we'll talk about both of our personal stories. Being in that situation, it is hard to navigate. And so it's always helpful to have kind of a guideline or a pathway or just know you're not crazy on this journey. So Nicole, let's just start off and set the stage and tell the listeners a little bit about you, your personal background, your professional background, and whatever you want to share.
Sure. Well, again, so excited to be here. So a little bit about me, where to begin. There's a couple things I always like to point out to people. I come from, I see the world through two lenses, and I think that's really important part of who I am and why I really like diversity and inclusion and belonging and equity work, you know, all of those terms rolled up into this. But I'm biracial. So my mom is white and her family is from Finland. So that was always an exciting thing to learn about. And then my dad was Black, you know, and we know the background of Black families and where do we trace our history. But I always remember having conversations about what it meant to be biracial early as 9 years old and seeing the lens through that and talking about diversity and race and what it meant. And it's cool when I can look back on that now, you know, pushing 40 and in this work for a while, how that really impacted how I view the world and how I go into conversations and how I bridge gaps. So I think that's a really important part of my background. I come from a fairly large family. I am out here in Los Angeles at Cedars-Sinai, which is one of the top hospitals in the country. We just got our ranking. We're number 7 a couple weeks ago. So I'm very excited. We moved up. Again, awesome. We have a phenomenal team here. I'm married to my college sweetheart, who is also biracial. So we have lots of interesting conversations about race and what that means in our household. And that's a part of how we function. And then we have a 20-month-old little son who is awesome. And he keeps us very busy. So not only am I leading an organization's program around diversity and inclusion, which I say is one of my babies, but I have a human baby that I'm also trying to groom and make sure that he is an active participant. And, you know, we actually read to him a lot and talk about race too. Anti-Racist Baby is actually his favorite book right now. And then there's a book about early protests, like baby protests, and it's really cool. So he says, no, probably too much. But we're instilling some of those things in him already, and I think it's pretty cool. So that's a little bit about me on a personal side. On a professional side, I've been here at Cedars-Sinai now for 1 year, just over a year, which is crazy. It went so fast and so much has happened, and I know we'll get into it in this last year, particularly the last 6 months. being in healthcare and then dealing with diversity and inclusion. It's been two very hot topics in society right now. Before that, though, I was in the auto industry and I led diversity and inclusion at Honda Manufacturing of Indiana in the Indianapolis area, and then came out here to Southern California about 2.5 years ago and joined Kia Motors and was their head of diversity and corporate social responsibility before Cedars-Sinai came my way and was kind of a perfect fit for what I was looking for in life. Did some things before that, but all of this work really has led me to this point. So I'm so excited to share and just have this open kind of dialogue about what this means to a workplace and what it means for us as employees too.
Awesome. And I'm excited to have it. One of the people that I follow in diversity and inclusion, James Wright, he always says, you know, let's have the conversation. Let's join the conversation. And I think that's one of the first steps to really breaking down this beast. And so there was a lot of stuff that you said, and even from a personal note, the fact that you opened up with you see it through two different lenses. And I think that's really important in diversity and inclusion to first recognize that everybody is approaching it through their lens or through their filters. As a female, I see it from a female perspective. I see it as an African-American perspective. I see it as a working mom perspective. I link back to my, you know, socioeconomic background that I grew up in. So everybody is coming with something. And so I want to talk about how diversity and inclusion has evolved. Mm-hmm. And I know just from an HR perspective, both of us being in HR, it used to be just diversity. Now it's inclusion and equity and belonging, and just the terminology has changed.
Justice has come into it now too, and all of these things. Yeah.
So talk a little bit about what you've seen as the evolution in the workplace and in the world, just from a terminology and just the thought process of what all diversity means. It used to just be man and woman, you know, so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that first one is important. You know, you touched on all your lenses that you bring to the world. And we have to realize that all of us have intersections, right? So intersectionality is also another term that comes up quite a bit in this work, because, you know, I am a biracial woman. Sometimes I view the lens through a Black woman's perspective, right? And sometimes I view it through a mom and wife perspective. So we bring all of these things. So one of the things we talk a lot about are dimensions of diversity, and that everybody does have a diversity story. And once you break it down, that allows you to connect with people and really understand and probably meet people where they're at. So my grandfather used to tell me that long, long ago, like, you have to meet people where they're at. Everybody is dealing with something. Everybody's bringing something to the table. And I think that's the foundation of this work. I really believe that. So for me, the evolution, not only has the terminology completely changed over the last 10 to 15 years, but even 10 years ago, we were looking at diversity as just a numbers game.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it was, do we have, and it really was just about women. Do we have maybe women represented? Do we have men? It has evolved so much where we're talking about veterans. Do we have people related to the disability community? Do we have people in the LGBTQ plus community represented? Female, male, different races, you know, BIPOC is a big term that is now really out there because we realize the inequities between Black people and Indigenous people are even broader. So we want to call them out instead of lumping everyone together as people of color, POC. So there's just been so much change. And now we're taking that numbers perspective and really looking at how do we create a place where people have a voice and they feel like they belong. So that's that inclusion side of things.
Right.
And that's harder to measure.
Oh, yes.
Right? I mean, Absolutely. From an HR perspective, you want morale and engagement and everything. And what people are starting to realize about diversity and inclusion, that impacts all of those things.
Absolutely.
And it also impacts wellness, right? So if you feel like you belong and you're included and you're engaged in your work and your workplace, you're probably healthier. You're probably happier. Your stress levels might decrease because you have a community. You feel comfortable being who you are. And I think that's a huge evolution that you've seen even in the last 5 years in the space of where we really focus on the belonging side of things and making sure people have that place. I just did a presentation last week to our physician wellness team, and we were talking about the intersectionality between my world and their world and how we have to work together. And it was such a cool way to look at D&I and people were not thinking like that.
Right.
So I think for me, just the evolution that people realize that this is such important work and it really can impact a lot of the different lines of business and activities within an organization. And it kind of is a foundational activity, really, if you're thinking smart about building a really solid organization.
That's absolutely new. Absolutely. And ultimately, it does impact the bottom line, whether, you know, people want to admit it or not, because one of the things you talked about, and from a wellness perspective, it also increases employee engagement. When you feel like you belong, you're going to produce more. And just to kind of piggyback what you were saying about how diversity used to be all about the numbers, I remember scorecards, I remember metrics, and, you know, do we have enough people in the right boxes? And it's one of the things that, again, I've heard an analogy of diversity is being, you know, invited to the party, you know, but inclusion is, okay, are you going to let me dance, you know? And so inclusion is something completely different. And I think inclusion is something that we all should be able to buy into, because even no matter what, where your intersection comes from, or, you know, where it intersects, as a human, you want to feel like you are a part of something bigger, absolutely, greater, or just that you belong wherever you are.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really important. And as you talk about how it's a vital part of the organization, what do you think happens or can happen when companies don't pay enough attention to this?
Well, I think right now in society, you're going to see your employees jump ship. Right. I mean, if we talk about the bottom line and the investment, right, our employees are our lifeblood, and we have to remember that. And sometimes I think that we forget that. And that's where I think diversity and inclusion can play a really important role in creating that community and that sense of belonging to keep our people, and to, like you said, to keep them engaged and the morale high, because you want to keep your good people. Right. And I think if you're not talking about these things and you're not addressing these things and you're kind of just pretending they're not happening, one, it shows that you're out of touch, mm-hmm, with what is going on. But two, your good people are going to jump ship if it's part of what they believe in. And from a generational shift, we're seeing a lot of the younger generation looking at organizations who believe in social justice and who are, yes, doing things in the community. And they want to be part of those organizations because that's kind of how they grew up and what their belief systems are. So you have to touch on those things from a generational perspective, which is a whole nother dimension of diversity too. And we have to remember that. So how are we really speaking out on that and not shying away from it is really important from a community image, from a recruitment standpoint, from a morale standpoint, and just from being in touch with what is going on. So I think you have to. If you shy away from it, you're making a very big mistake.
Wow. All good thoughts. I could not agree with you more. I like the analogy of what you were talking about with, you know, the millennials or the different generations, that they kind of, you know, I'm going to use the word, you didn't say it, but I will. They demand it. I mean, I remember, you know, being on the phone and people not wanting to take offers because they've looked at your website and you say one thing, but that's not what I see. That's not what I see represented, or I don't feel, you know, or our benefits that we offered were not, you know, inclusive enough. And so that's very real. And I think about, you know, we have a 17-year-old daughter who keeps up with the news like nobody's business. I was not doing that at 17.
No clue.
And at the dinner table, you know, she's keeping, you know, me abreast of, you know, every social justice campaign that's out there and who's doing what and wanting to protest and march. And I remember telling her, I said, I'm at a loss for words, because at 17, I don't think I was that courageous.
No,
I may have thought, oh, I would like to, but I don't know that I would have had enough courage at that time in my life to want to protest and be an active participant. But her friends and that age group, that is how they grew up.
And that's the next generation in the workplace coming up.
Absolutely. And so I agree with you. If companies don't pay attention to it, you are doing yourself a disservice and you are literally killing your ability to recruit top talent and to retain top talent. So I completely agree with you. And I think that employers have a responsibility to be able to make sure they have that inclusive workforce. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, there's been lots of stuff in the news in the last 6 months, like you said, a lot of stuff happening, the Black Lives Matter movement, just one of them. And you've seen how businesses have suffered because they haven't taken, quote unquote, the right response. But let's talk about, how do you think those events that are happening in the world are shaping what companies are doing, or what's, how employees are feeling in the workplace? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, for us, I'll talk from the CEDAR's perspective, because obviously we've been hit doubly, right? I mean, we're in healthcare, so COVID has been a big focus that our people are on the front lines, you know, making sure that our community is taken care of. And my goodness, they are phenomenal. Hands down, inspired every day by the work that our folks do, because it makes me want to work harder when I see them, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure that they have a place where they belong. So in that same breath, you know, we were dealing with racial injustice and inequity, and it was literally in our backyard. So I live right down the street from the hospital, and, you know, the protests happened and the police and tear gas and everything was at my corner, and it impacted our people getting to the organization to go to work, but then also just emotionally, because we were already hit with COVID and then we added this on top of it. So what we did, right after the George Floyd incident, our CEO got a message out to all of our employees, and we actually released it externally too, and talked about and named racism as a health equity issue. And we committed to figuring out, from a health equity and diversity and inclusion, how can we make an impact from our footprint at Cedars-Sinai to do that? And we decided to start making moves around that. We have a chief health equity officer, and then my role, we were both brought on around the same time last year. So we had been building foundational work, and it allowed us to pivot and really respond to our employees. So we held a vigil that first week after George Floyd was murdered, just for us to breathe together. Mm-hmm. And it was me, our rabbi, and our Work Life Matters team. And we had about 400 plus people join us virtually. And then a lot more have watched the recording. But we knew that we had to say something, and we had to do something just to say, it's okay to talk about it. You can come into our workplace and talk about it, right? Wow. And we're going to provide the space for you to do that. And that prompted open dialogues across the organization that we've been part of. And my team, we're a small but mighty team, but we help facilitate those. And then a lot of unconscious bias education has come out of that too, which is also another layer of anti-racism discussions and education. So we have taken that approach of what's happening in our society. We can't control what everybody else is doing, but we can control what's happening at our organization. And we want to make sure that our employees have a space to talk about this, to not walk through these doors and have an added level of stress when they already are on the front lines taking care of our community and being amazing. You know, we need to support them as an organization. So that was important, and that was how we handled it. And we just didn't want to shy away from it. We really didn't.
Yeah, I love that bold and courageous approach. And it sounds like your employees, you know, you had people attending virtually and watching the recording, and people were actively involved. And I can imagine, as an employee, what that must feel like to know your employer cares enough to say, you know what, not taking sides, but you can talk about it. This is an open space. And it goes back to the, let's just have the conversation. A lot of things can be, I wouldn't say dealt with, but a lot of things can be aired out, or you feel better just because you're able to talk about it. And there's many, of course, company cultures that are doing the opposite of that. So what advice would you give to employees that maybe they don't feel like they're in a company culture that handles it that way, or is just supportive, not in words, but in action, with diversity and inclusion? Let's talk a little bit about, well, let's first talk about, what do you think the responsibility of employees are in this situation and in this world?
I think that's a great question. I do want to add, you know, even though we were bold and courageous in that beginning phase, we have so much work to do, right? But how we took that and everything that was happening in society, where we had like basically two pandemics that hit us within months of each other, mm-hmm. right? Lee took it as a catalyst for us to start to talk about more bold changes and to be more transparent about those activities with our employees. And I say the line all the time is, this is a journey. This
Absolutely. Is
one, we are going to do this one tick at a time, right? We can't solve all of this overnight. And I know some of you want to, and some of you don't, but we have to do this together. So I just want to say that because we're working to be bold, right? We're not perfect by any means. But one thing I think that employees can do, even if your company isn't super supportive, this is a time and a place where you can figure out how to be your authentic self. Mm-hmm. And to help back again to that story, right? And the open dialogues, there's so much power in hearing somebody else's story, right? So even if it's one person, you know, and you want to reach out and have a conversation, I think that that is a big responsibility. I think the other thing too is, you know, start to hold your leadership accountable, even if it's just in your department, right? You can help really make change. One person can make change. And if you're asking a question of maybe your boss, or you're starting to have conversations with your coworkers just about these topics, you can start to facilitate a different culture and dynamic within your department. Or you can see that that might not be the place for you too, right?
Right, exactly.
But you have to be brave and bold and courageous in that as well. Some things I've seen where people are making small changes, not only are they having discussions with each other, but it could be as simple as sharing an article and having a discussion about it. Hey, do we want to have a book club? There's this book out there, you know, White Fragility is a popular one. How to Be right. Anti-Racist is another one. That right now is the time to bring that stuff to the forefront as an employee. And I think you have a responsibility if you believe in these two things, right? If you believe in inclusion, and if you believe that we have a problem with racial equity, then you have a time right now in society to talk about it and bring it up. And you look again to our earlier question, the organizations that you want to be a part of, do they align with your values? And I think that that's a really important thing that all employees have a responsibility to think about for themselves as well. And if the organization does, but there might be some gaps, then I get questions all the time from employees asking, what else are we doing? Can we do this? I have this idea. And I love it because, one, it shows me I have an engaged workforce.
Right.
Some of them are hard questions I have no answer to. Because
yes.
What the heck? And I wish I could have changed it, you know, yesterday. But they are brave enough to come to me with an idea and a question. And I think that that's their responsibility.
Absolutely.
That's a better organization.
Absolutely. And so I agree with you. I think that employees do have a responsibility. And I think, again, it is not just the employer's responsibility. I think the employer and the leadership sets the tone. But if you as an employee are in a workforce, this is a perfect time to leverage it. And I like what you said, you know, each one, almost like kind of like each one reach one. Mm-hmm. And it can be done in a way where you're not trying to change the company. Start with your work team. Start with your cute mate. You know, whatever it is, start where you are. What I found is sometimes just asking people to go to lunch that you would not normally go to lunch with.
Yes. There's a great exercise out there, and we do this in our unconscious bias education, is about your circle of influence, mm-hmm. right? Have you seen this where you list the 10 people in your life that you interact with the most? And when you take a step back and look at that from a diversity and inclusion lens, are they all Black people? Are they all white people? Are they all women, right? Are they all straight? Are they all parents? And you start to see, man, my circle of influence is not very diverse, so I'm not getting different perspectives.
Right.
I would say from an employee responsibility standpoint, do some really evaluation of your own circle of influence. And then to your point, reach out to somebody that might be outside of that circle and start a dialogue, because you can learn so much just from having a discussion. And I've had people say, I took that exercise and I said, listen, I did this crazy exercise with the diversity team, and it made me say, I just want to learn more about your story, because I don't have anybody that's different than me in my circle.
Right.
I think that's our responsibility as employees.
Right. Absolutely. I completely, and I think it's our responsibility also as just a human individual, because in order to impact change, there first has to be an understanding and an awareness.
Yes.
I think you do have to give people the benefit of the doubt. until proven otherwise.
Agreed.
You know,
meet them where they are.
Absolutely. And establish a relationship. But the other thing that you said is that sometimes as you're working towards this change, you may meet resistance and you may ultimately come to the realization that this is not the place for me. And that is okay.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell people, you know, do your part to impact change and make sure that you're doing your part. But sometimes you do have to admit, right now, this is not the place for me, for where I am in my life and in my career. And so you as a person cannot change an entire culture over time because it's formed over years.
Agreed.
But you do have to try and then come to the realization, is this going to work or not? And that's one of the things I talk about when it comes to career fulfillment is it is not just about the job. It is not just about the base pay. It is, does it align with your life, your values? That is a key part of being happy in your career. And so I completely agree with you there. One of the things that I wanted to talk about next is, so we've talked about employers have a responsibility, employees have a responsibility. Let's talk a little bit about representation in terms of just seeing people that look like you in leadership and at the top. And I want to get your thoughts about how important that is or what your thoughts around that is and how that can help or hurt an organization.
I think it's so important. I mean, when we're talking about values and we're talking about culture, you want to find people you connect with. You want to see people that look like you or have a story. So it's important for our leaders, I think, to share their stories as well, because people can find a connection there. And they might not always look like you, but because you heard that story, you found a connection point, and that gives you something to strive for too. So I think it's super important to have representation. And I think about, you know, we launched a series, you and I were talking about it, called Conversations for All by All. And it's a chance for us to feature our leaders from diverse backgrounds. And we did one for Pride Month, and it was so powerful to see the response. And we did one for parents and caregivers, and the responses were just as powerful from our attendees saying, I had no clue that these individuals were experiencing this as leaders. Because sometimes we think our leaders are on this high pedestal and they don't have any other challenges and they've already conquered the world, right? But right. Hearing their stories created more connection and it gave representation, a voice that people weren't aware of before. And I think that that was a pretty cool thing. But that's just an example of when you have representation at the top, how it can impact our employees. Because then those individuals are like, man, I found somebody that looks like me or had an experience or have a lifestyle like mine that they made it there. I have a role model. And I think that's important. I also, and for diverse employees, I think that that can be a challenge sometimes. We don't always have role models that look like us
right.
in these top spots. So how are we to aspire to those top spots when we don't see anybody, right?
Absolutely.
If we talked a little bit about diversity being the numbers game, I think that's still an important part of the
Absolutely.
Diversity and inclusion journey. We still need to look at the numbers and the representation, but we have to find a balance between looking at the numbers and creating that inclusive culture and that belonging culture, and how do they collide to really help us achieve what we want from an overall organizational culture standpoint. So it's still important to make sure we understand if you look at your leadership and there is no women in society when 50% of our population is female, okay, well, we need to have a conversation, right? Because you're missing an important voice at the table, right? So
Absolutely.
There's that impacts our employees as well when we are missing those voices, because we're not hearing thoughts. We're not hearing those stories that impact how we create policies and programming and all of that. So it's, to me, it is one of the most important things, just from a belonging standpoint, to make sure we have representation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad that you said that. And I wanted to make sure that we talked about that, because I don't want anyone to think that it's just about inclusion and not about the numbers.
Thanks
it
for
is
listening to another
a balance
episode
and a plan.
Of Career
and if you,
Connections,
you
can
don't
find
have
us
the
at
numbers
www.
And you're missing a huge part
of
inclusion. But I know that a lot of the listeners
media,
are
Facebook,
diverse,
LinkedIn, and Twitter,
and I know what it feels like to work in an organization
consulting.
And you don't
we
see anybody that looks
to hear
like
from you.
You can feel very alone. You can feel isolated. You feel like there's no hope. And let's just be real. In our careers, you hit challenges, and sometimes you just want to know, am I crazy? And you want to talk to somebody that kind of gets, you know, what you're going through. And when you don't have that in a certain level of leadership, it doesn't feel good. And so one of the things I always admonish companies to do is to make sure that your leadership is representative of the values and the communities of which you serve. You know, it should be everybody. I feel like, you know, former HR director, I feel like every employee should be able to have someone in the organization that they can talk to.
Yeah.
And even being in HR, I tried to set a culture where HR was the friendly place and there was, you know, always welcoming. But there's certain people that gravitate to certain people. And I think that's okay. That's why you need to have all, you know, represented.
Yeah.
So I think that that's super important. So yeah. I think that we have talked about a lot, and like we started in the beginning, it is a beast. It's, you know, one chip at a time. And I feel like we've kind of talked about the evolution and what employers' responsibilities are and how employees can help. What do you think, you know, if we had a crystal ball, how do you think this is going to change in the next 5 or 10 years? What do you think?
I mean, I wish that I had a crystal ball. I really do.
Me too.
Because, you know, when I came over to healthcare, little did I know that we would be facing COVID and doing D&I in a healthcare space. And then we face racial injustice and it's like, woo, big spotlight.
Yeah.
Couldn't have seen that coming. But to me, I think the accountability of organizations related to their activities in this work is definitely going to just blow up more. And I honestly think companies taking a stand and really understanding their values and how their values play an important role for their culture and society, and kind of marrying all of that. Because I think that a lot of our companies were, you know, built years and years and years ago, and we have these core values and leadership has changed so much over the years. Do those core values still mean what we want them? Are they still the right core values?
Right.
And, you know, we're blessed here because we have really strong core values. And really, Cedars-Sinai started, we're a Jewish hospital. We started because Jewish physicians and patients could not be seen in regular hospitals, right? So that's part of why we started on the idea of our Jewish community was discriminated against. So we believe in inclusion. And I am so thankful that our leadership talks about that. And we are making sure that we talk about it even more now. And I see that kind of evolution in this space and how it ties to justice and equity. For us, we're realizing racism really does play into health equity. And that's what we're about.
Right.
And I just see that continuing to evolve. And I see that evolving because those next generations are super woke.
Right? Yes. They demand.
They demand. So we have to have our understanding of what that means and who we are as organizations. And I really do think that's going to be the evolution. And I think it's a good thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Like you said, it's a journey. It's one tick at a time. I love what you talked about, you know, with your particular organization, how you guys have, I wouldn't say found, but you've connected and linked the dots between, okay, this social injustice and this racism is tied to health equity, which is what we're about. It's our product. It's what we do. And so I think that's really important to make that linkage, no matter what organization you're a part of, as we have leaders listening and company officials, is what is the linkage? Now, one easy thing is always to your bottom line. So you can't think of anything else. It's hitting your numbers.
Always.
Whether you know it or not. But what is the linkage? And I also like what you said about revisiting the core values. Because what worked in 1960, and it could have been a great core value, it may not be appropriate right now.
Right.
Or whatever. So I think companies, even during this time, should be paying attention. And again, it's a great time to leverage and to adapt and to change. Mm-hmm. To say, you know what? This is not working anymore. And we want to do better. Not quite sure how, but we want to. And that's all part of the conversation.
Yeah. And definitely. It's important. It's definitely important. And I think it's okay for organizations to evolve. And we all evolve. We're all on a journey. You know, we talk about career evolution. We talk about, you know, organizations have evolutions as well with branding and image and thinking about your history and core values and what that means. I think is part of the evolution, But, you know, we talk about doing the understanding of ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's part of understanding who the organization is too, which I think is just as important. And I do think that that's going to be a trend that we're going to see change as companies are asking, who are we? What do we stand for? What's our bottom line that we're trying to impact, and how does it tie in the greater society? Because people are demanding that too. So
yes.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited for the journey. I love it.
I'm with you. I'm excited. And I think it is an evolution. And I think another thing that the companies have to pay attention to is making sure they have top talent leading their diversity and inclusion efforts. It can't be the admin that got progressed up to, you know, to be the other person, and now they're over diversity and inclusion, or you just pick the Black person in your organization. That's not the way it works. You know, it requires real talent, a subject matter expert, someone who not only talks about it, they live it. It is who they are. And that's one of the things that I think that's evident, you know, with you, Nicole. It comes out. I can tell you're passionate about it.
I love it.
And I can tell it is what you, it's who you are. And one last question. I think by now, by the end of this podcast, everybody's going to want to come work for Cedars-Sinai.
Wonderful. I've worked at a lot of companies, and some of them I have loved, right? But this is home. And I'm not saying this just because I lead our diversity program, but we are making an impact on people every day. To me, I mean, for me personally, that's huge, right? Mm-hmm. And my job is to make sure that those individuals who are doing the hard work and thinking of amazing research, you know, because we're an academic organization too. So we're teaching that next generation of physicians and researchers, and we have people of all levels. Like, this is such a cool place to work for, and we have such a rich history, and we have amazing leaders who are constantly asking the question. Like, my executive D&I council, their job is to be the conscience for our organization, to one, help advise me if I'm doing the right things, right? But to constantly ask the question of what more can we be doing for our people and for our society? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Like, that's part of why I love this place. I'm all Cedars-Sinai.
Yeah, and everybody's gonna want to work there. But for those who are not in LA, for those who cannot, yes. Let's leave the people with, let's just say, if there's somebody who's listening and you know that the place where you are, it's not the right culture, it's not aligning with your values. No judgment against that company.
No.
What advice would you give someone who wants to leave to really be a part of an organization that supports what they're trying to accomplish from a values perspective? What would be your advice?
I mean, definitely do your research, right? Because, you know, you made an earlier point. It's more than just the paycheck, right? You want to be happy when you walk in the door. Like, I do not wake up any day thinking like, oh my gosh, I got to go do this work at this place. Like, I wake up like, oh my gosh, what cool things happened today and how can I help them, right? Yeah. I haven't always felt like that.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of my jobs I definitely have because I've been blessed to do this work, which I do feel is part of my purpose in this world. But I think that you ask those questions and you do that research, and you have to do self-reflection first. You own some of this, right? You have to understand, what do you stand for? And do you want to be at a company that aligns with what you stand for, right? And where are you willing to make concessions in that? And I think that,
and are you going to be a part of it? Not just, I just want to be in the mix.
Yes. And if you just want to be in the mix though, that's okay. Because you've done the assessment on yourself. If you want to clock in, clock out, that is okay too. Because not everybody always wants to be totally in the mix of things. And I think that's an important thing that we have to think about from a D&I perspective, right? Everybody has different reasons for coming to work every day. And we have to remember that too. But I think, you know, you really do self-assessment and you listen to what people are saying from an organizational standpoint. You also do the research of what you said it earlier. What do they have out there on their website and in public versus what you might hear? There's value to both of those things, right? Like, you can hear me saying how much I love this place, but if you went online and didn't see anything good about Cedars-Sinai, then it would be a disconnect, right? And you'd be like, what the heck's going on over there? But you can see that we do a lot of good stuff too. So I think it's really doing your research both on yourself and on the organization and making that leap, right? And asking questions in the interview process to really get to what the organization stands for. I think that's important. Like, for me, I really wanted to know, coming into the D&I space, what was the commitment from our senior leadership? Tell me your view on the history of this organization, because I did my research, right? But I wanted to hear from our leaders themselves what they thought, and some of our staff. And it was evident to me, like, it was instant connection with a lot of people where we were already brainstorming in my interview process. And I was like, oh, I can't give you all my ideas
right now.
Wait till you hire me, right? But those are, you trust your gut when you're having these conversations. I think that's really important.
Awesome. Well, I am so glad that we got a chance to do this. And I know that it's going to be helpful to so many people that listen. Again, this is a really important big topic. And I think it's something that we all can take a part in, whatever level you want to play, you know, at the game. But thank you so much, Nicole, for being the guest today. I think that, again, you've helped shed a lot of light on not just what we as employees can do. We talked about employers' responsibilities and just kind of how we see the journey evolve. And so thank you again for being here. I'm so excited. I can't wait to share it with everybody else.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun. And my last words would be, you know, we all play a part in this. So think about what role you want to play. You might not be out there protesting. You might be behind the scenes helping make culture change. And that's okay too, but we all play a role. And you might just be at home having conversations with friends and family. That's important too. So own it, be comfortable in your space, and we are all in this together.
Awesome. Fantastic. Okay, we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Career Connections. You can find us at www.careerpathwaysconsulting.com or on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter under Career Pathways Consulting. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, don't be satisfied with the status quo in your career and life. Expect greater, because life is too short to do anything different. See you next time.